It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to The Untold Story, everybody. I'm really excited about today's podcast because we're joined by a truly special veteran and hero. His name is Bill Swanson. He's 98 years old, World War II Marine Corps veteran. He's also the author of a book that he wrote called The View from My Foxhole, A Marine Private's Firsthand World War II Combat Experience from Guadalcanal to Iwo Jima, which is really remarkable. And I'm so thrilled and honored to talk with him. But we wouldn't have the opportunity to talk with him if we hadn't been reached out to by his son, Jim. And so we're going to bring in Jim first, and then we'll talk to Bill, which we're looking forward to. But hi, Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, Martha. Thank you.
First of all, you know, tell us a quick bit about you. This is your dad that we're going to be talking to. So how did we all end up here talking about this book?
It's kind of a journey in itself for my dad and his book. He wrote the book about 32, 33 years ago after he retired. He worked for the city of Los Angeles, and we lived up in the San Gabriel Valley east of Los Angeles. And when he retired, it looks to me like he started writing short stories about his experience in the war. He had time to reflect, and people would ask him, you know, about the war and stuff. And I guess this was his way of sort of answering some of the questions. And he wrote that there's one part of the book, a patrol that they went on Christmas Eve. And he wrote that story. And then there was a couple other stories. And eventually, I think over a 3 or 4 year period, it all gelled into a book. And he had it printed up and put into a little hardcover book. And he gave it to the family for Christmas, just as I think it was his way of dealing with things and letting the family know kind of what happened. And he dedicated the book to those who didn't make it, whose luck ran out, kind of telling their story the best he could. And so it was just a book meant for the family. And everybody that read it, you know, friends and friends of the family read it as well. And everybody loved the book and thought it should be published and stuff. But nobody, you know, in our circle, we didn't know anybody in the publishing business or whatever. And so the book just kind of sat for years, and people would occasionally pick it up and read it and think it was great and things. And about a year and a half ago, my stepson brought his family out for a vacation. We live in Imperial Beach in California, and they brought him out for a vacation. And he's a UPS driver in South Central Virginia, kind of near the Lake Gaston area. And he read the book and really liked it. And he wanted to know if he said there was a lady on his route, her name is Lisa Hagen, who had a publishing business, and if he could give her the book to read. And she read it and really liked it, but it wasn't the kind of book she normally deals with. So she sent it to an editor named Alex Novak at Post Hill Press in Tennessee, I think. And he read it and really loved the book. Mm. And it was several months went by. The family visit was in June, late June. And by October, we were getting text messages. There's somebody interested in the book. They're pitching the book, things like that. Around November, we got a solid offer from the publishing company to publish his book, which really shocked everybody. Mm. And my dad accepted. And we've kind of gone on from there.
And how did you and I connect? Because we obviously, you know, I wrote a book called Unknown Valor, and I do a lot of interviews with World War II veterans. So how did you find us, Jim?
Well, it was when we kind of were discussing the contract, he had a friend at one of the local farmers markets who's a really nice guy and a successful farmer. And he had read my dad's book, and he thought it should be published. And when we told him, you know, we are actually going to get it published now. He said, "You got to get the book to Martha McCallum." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Really?" And he says, "Yeah, she's written this book, the book you just said, mm-hmm. and she would really like to talk to your dad, I think." And then my neighbor said the same thing, and my wife said the same thing, and a couple other people did. Mm-hmm. So the publishing agent with permitted press. This is actually what the actual book is released under, permitted press. She reached out to you, and I think Lori got in touch with us a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we started making a connection. So that's kind of how
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that people mentioned my name so that we could have this conversation with your dad. I'm so honored by the association, and so grateful for his time. So I don't want to keep him waiting anymore. And I'll thank you very much, Jim. And we'll bring in Bill Swanson. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
First of all, congratulations on your book. And I've read a chunk of it. I'm going to read the whole thing. But I think you're such a good writer, first of all. It's very accessible and vivid. And I'm so grateful to you for writing down your experiences, because they're extraordinary. So thank you for writing your book, first of all. Tell everybody, if you can, just your name and where you were born and what made you decide after Pearl Harbor that you wanted to sign up at just 18 years old.
Basically, I'm a California kid. I was born in Bakersfield in 1924, I think. And I grew up in my father works for the Edison Company and transferred. Also grew up mainly in Glendale, California. That's where I lived with my grandmother.
Must have been very different back then. Tell me about becoming a Marine.
Right after I graduated from high school, I joined the Marine Corps. Signed up for 4 years.
I'm going to read a quote from your book. You said, "I wouldn't take a million for the memories, experiences, camaraderie, but wouldn't do it again for all the goddamn tea in China." So tell me about your experiences in, what do you remember about when you first arrived in Guadalcanal? What was it like in Guadalcanal?
On Guadalcanal, when I first arrived, the main battle for Guadalcanal was over. I stayed there for a period of time.
When you were there, did you get sick? Did you have malaria? What was it like in the jungle, in the Pacific?
In the jungle?
Yes. What was it like?
The jungle was, there was different kinds of jungle. Some of it was just heavy foliage and not too much different. Other part was heavy foliage, but it was also very uncomfortable.
Tell me what you remember about Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima?
Yes.
Iwo Jima was the, we didn't know, we knew Iwo Jima was up there. We didn't really know much about it. We just continued to move, because that was in the country. You keep moving, accumulate most of this territory under our control, because that was our job.
Bill, I want to thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story with us today. Thank you, and thank you so much for your service to our country and really to the whole world in World War II, sir. The Untold Story continues right after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Before I let you go, Jim, can you just tell me, you know, just a little bit about his injury and why he, you know, was taken off of Iwo Jima? And do you have any idea what date he was injured on Iwo?
It was, I believe it was the 25th of February. It could have been the 26th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Their division was in floating reserve for the invasion, and they had an assignment. Which was to take the airfields, but they weren't in the initial, you know, assault. They were trying to control the artillery from Mount Suribachi and stuff first before they had to run across the airfields and stuff, and they weren't completely successful. But when they raised the flag on Mount Suribachi, my dad's division was on board ship. They saw that and the big celebration and stuff. And then the next day or so, they went in to Iwo Jima, and he writes pretty well about it in the book. But they were I believe it was the 21st Regiment had been in the day before, and they were pretty much wiped out, or, you know, they'd gone as far as they could. And then my dad's regiment relieved them, and they got to, I think it was the second airfield, and they were told, you know, they had to go across it, and the guns and stuff hadn't been cleared yet, but they had to take it as fast as they could and move as fast as they could across the airfield. So they got up, they had fixed bayonets and everything, and they got up and ran across the airfield, and there was all kinds of fire and shelling and things and running through them, you know, just a mass of artillery fire and things. And they got across, it was a couple hundred yards, they got across the airport, and they were kind of on an embankment for another airport, or not an airport, a landing strip. Mm-hmm. And during that time, there was a lot of shelling and things, and people were getting killed around him. And he felt something like a hammer hitting his right hand, and a piece of shrapnel hit him right between his thumb and his index finger, kind of personally cutting both of them off a little bit. And he, you know, said he'd been hit, and there was other more seriously wounded people around. He said he didn't think it was that bad. And eventually a corpsman came and bandaged him up and then tagged him for evacuation. But he didn't really want to leave. He'd been with these, you know, his company was his home.
Yeah.
And he was kind of scared actually to leave, I think.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the sergeant called him up. There was kind of an embankment for this other airfield, and it had all been shelled. It really didn't look like an airfield anymore. It had been shelled up, and there was, you know, big holes and things around. And he was talking to the sergeant, and the lieutenant came by and said they had found a way around and that they were going to be moving this way. A couple of his friends, Dick Gardner and Jim Lyons, they that morning they had been talking before this assault, and they were kind of saying, you know, when this is all over, we'll get together in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And they agreed to it. Anyway, the lieutenant came by and he was giving orders, because my dad was a corporal, and to the sergeant saying, you know, get the people together, we're going to be moving this way. And then he looked down and he saw my dad's hand was bandaged. And then he pointed right at my dad and he said, and you get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need any cripples where we're going. So my dad was kind of ordered to leave. And he remembers looking up, his friends were kind of, had found a way through, and Dick Gardner and Jim Lyons, he was leaving going back, and they were getting ready and moving forward, and they kind of all waved at each other and said, we'll see you in Frisco.
Mm.
And the other two didn't make it. They were both killed. Dick Gardner was he was killed toward the end of the battle trying to save another Marine who'd been hit, and he was awarded Silver Star posthumously. It's in his book there, but He after the Guam campaign, of the original 40 in his platoon that left San Diego, there was only two of them left. A lot of them had been rotated home, and not everybody had been killed. There'd been, you know, people wounded and rotated home and things. But from the original 40, it was my dad and one other guy.
That's incredible.
And then his squad of 10 that landed on Iwo Jima, of those 10, 7 were killed and 3 were wounded. And my dad was one of the ones that was wounded. So.
Yeah, I know he talks about just, you know, the survivor guilt. And I've heard so much of it from so many people who were in your dad's shoes. And there's actually, you know, there's some overlap between your dad's book and my book, because I write about the effort to take the second Motoyama airfield in Iwo Jima. And Dominic Grassi, who's one of the people that I follow in my book, received the Navy Cross in that effort. And I wouldn't be surprised if these individuals, who were also in the 3rd Marine Division, knew each other and were all working towards the same effort on Iwo Jima.
No,
it's extraordinary.
That day on the second airfield, that was the day that my dad was wounded. That was his lieutenant received the Navy Cross that day too. He was wounded and wouldn't leave the field till he had whoever had survived from his platoon got him, you know, safely to their next destination. There was
a lot of heroism.
I think his company on that, just on that one day, his company landed with 200 people because they were pretty much fully staffed when they landed that morning or the day before. And 50 casualties just that afternoon out of 200.
It's unbelievable.
So that'd be 25% casualties in just, you know, one afternoon.
Well, Jim, we're so grateful to you for sharing your dad's story with us. And I'm grateful to Bill Swanson, William Swanson, who is the author of The View from My Foxhole, a Marine private's firsthand World War II combat experience from Guadalcanal to Iwo Jima. Your dad's record is, and his book is, a testament, a firsthand experience in World War II, and we're losing these stories every single day. So we're really grateful to both of you for sharing your dad's story with us, and we encourage everybody to check out and to read his book, My View from the Foxhole, by Bill Swanson, William Swanson. So, Jim, thank you so much. And please thank your dad, Bill, for spending some time with us today. We're really grateful to talk to both of you, and we hope we can keep in touch.
You've been listening to The Untold Story with Martha McCallum. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Make sure to rate and review. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with the Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.